here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I am Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, January 12th, and before we recap this week's biggest stories in the investment and financial world, I do want to say that I recently found out that Planet Earth 2 is on Netflix, and that's what I've been watching all week this week after I get home, like during my dinner.
It's very peaceful.
It's the most exciting and heart-pounding thing I've watched since Game of Thrones. No lie, this batch of episodes, there's only six.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 10 in the first Planet Earth.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Unbelievable. It's so good this time.
All right. Oh, it was good the first time too.
It was so good the first time, but the way they have been, like the filmmakers have, well, I guess the technology has gotten better in 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Certainly. So the way they were able to do like remote cameras, like in the mountains.
There's probably all sorts of drone shots.
Capture capture like snow leopards and like this like huge jaguar in the desert. In the jungle in Brazil, like literally like pounce on an alligator or a caiman crocodile, I think. That's crocodiles are in Brazil, in the jungle, and eat it. It's like the most heart-pounding thing I've watched literally since Game of Thrones.
All right.
So I highly recommend to you listeners Planet Earth 2. It's so beautiful. It's everything. It's all about nature, and it's awesome.
And that was Talking Documentaries with the Friday Finish Line team. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye. Okay. But anyways, so back to, I guess, like going off on technology a little bit.
Uh-huh. Pretty good pivot.
Clever segue. The sector's biggest names and most promising startups actually gathered in the desert in Las Vegas, probably not to do too much gambling, as the latest iteration of the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES.
Was this week, yes. So we'll be talking about two companies that we thought shined at CES, NVIDIA and Ford. This year's event was noticeably focused on the latest in self-driving car technology, and these two companies made it clear that they intend to be a leader in this emerging industry. I will say, not purely or intentionally focused on autonomous driving, but you saw a lot of companies like NVIDIA and of course, Ford take that kind of autonomous first approach to CES, and lots of new announcements to recap.
Yeah, but before we get to that, we have a few other stories to cover. No more Planet Earth talk, including the latest numbers proving that Amazon's grip on the domestic e-commerce market is tighter than it's ever been.
Yeah, that's right, Maddie. According to the latest estimates from retail analytics firm OneClick Retail, Amazon accounted for about 44% of total U.S. e-commerce sales in 2017. That represents about $200 billion in online shopping revenues, which is about 4% of total U.S. retail sales. As just kind of to fill in the gaps here, these are all estimates. OneClick actually estimates online sales through website indexing, machine learning, and its own in-house proprietary software. Also estimated that consumer electronics was Amazon's top selling product category that brought in about $8.5 billion in revenues on the year. That was followed by home and kitchen with about $5.5 billion, publishing with about $5 billion, and sports and outdoors, which brought in about $4 billion. So the company's moving on from that, the fastest growing, top growing category was actually luxury beauty, which soared about 47% year over year to hit $400 million in sales.
Which is interesting because I don't know what luxury beauty brands Amazon even carries.
I don't know what,
reputable luxury beauty brands. Like, I'm sure you can find Chanel mascara, but is it going to be actual Chanel mascara? or is it going to be like a dupe.
I wouldn't know anything about the difference between fake and actual luxury, or fake and actual Chanel mascara.
I'm just saying.
However, I will note 400 million in the grand scheme of things, I guess still just a little bit of a drop in the pond. So not a major revenue stream there, but interesting to see it growing so fast. And maybe we can point to one age demographic as contributing to that. OneClick mentioned that millennials, which is of course kind of a marquee demographic for Amazon, are getting older. They're starting to buy homes. They're having children. They're spending money on Amazon if they've kind of grown up with the company. So, you know, just as a reminder out there for listeners, millennials are now about 20 to 36 years old, which means they really are right in that kind of home buying, child rearing stage of their lives. OneClick said that millennials contributed, quote unquote, the bulk of Amazon's estimated $5.5 billion in home and kitchen sales. That home and kitchen was up 20% year over year. And then it also cited millennials as the kind of foundation for Amazon's 33% growth in furniture sales. We've talked about talked a little bit about Amazon's growth in furniture on the show before, most notably their launch of their own furniture lines. Kind of touching on that tangentially in the idea of Amazon's private label brands, that was another thing that OneClick brought up as a reason for this growth. Of course, you know, the Whole Foods deal brought with it the 365 Everyday Value brand. And OneClick said that in the few months that that brand was available on Amazon.com at the end of the year, that brought in about $10 million. While Amazon Basics, which is kind of a wide ranging basic consumer items branded and produced by Amazon, that generated about $400 million in sales over the course of the year. And then, yeah, the reason I pivoted there from the furniture is that they've also launched a couple of their own furniture line. One targeted specifically towards like college age millennials. I think of it as like a dorm room type of furniture sales thing. And then they have that that other more expensive kind of more like Pottery Barney for beginners.
Well, yeah, like the other one, it's like a West Elm knockoff. Mm-hmm. So when you can't afford West Elm, Amazon has a knockoff for you.
Yeah. And they have that expert installation thing now that comes with a lot of that stuff.
So you don't order a sofa and it shows up in your lobby and you don't know how to get it upstairs.
Yes, which has happened to some of the podcast hosts on this show before, certainly. I've only ever been on first floors though, so nothing too extreme. I just have to go up the like 5 steps into my apartment, but that's I've definitely had the like, oh goodness, there's a giant box here now, and what do I do with it? From Amazon. So, yeah, and I'm a millennial too, so I guess I'm in that age demographic that OneClick Retail is saying was really driving the growth for Amazon this year.
Did you buy an Instant Pot?
I didn't get an Instant Pot because I ended up getting a regular crock pot for Christmas, which I actually have a pork tenderloin at home being currently made that I hope is just soft and tender and delicious by the time I get back.
Probably will be. It sounds very delicious.
And so, yeah, I just wanted to highlight that. Again, 44% of total U.S. e-commerce sales and 4% of total U.S. retail sales on the year. Some interesting numbers from Amazon. Pivoting now to blockchain, cryptocurrency, all that wonderful jazz. We had the latest in a completely unrelated company deciding to add blockchain to the business.
Well, I guess if Overstock can do it,
yeah,
Kodak can. Mm-hmm. So yes, camera maker Kodak became the latest company to add blockchain technology to its existing business model. So Kodak announced that through a partnership with WEN Digital, W-E-N-N, it would be launching the Kodak One image rights management platform and related Kodak Coin cryptocurrency. So Kodak One utilizes blockchain technology in order to set up an encrypted digital ledger designed to give photographers the ability to register and license their work within the platform. The Kodak One system will constantly crawl the web in order to find instances of registered images being used without the proper license. Meanwhile, Kodak Coin, which is similar to other cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, will allow photographers to be paid with a digital currency when their photographs are used. The initial Kodak Coin offering will open on January 31st, so coming up pretty quickly. So Kodak CEO Jeff Clark said that, quote, "For many of the tech industry, blockchain and cryptocurrency are hot buzzwords." And I think just the market overall, Jeff didn't say that. I said that. But going back to his quote, but for photographers who've long struggled to assert control over their work and how it's used, these buzzwords are the keys to solving what felt like an unsolvable problem. He has a point.
Yeah, definitely.
Shares of Kodak are up over 175% since it made the announcement. The legacy camera maker joins a growing list of companies that have shifted toward a blockchain or cryptocurrency focus, including, like we mentioned, Overstock.com, which is just like another e-commerce platform for literally anything, like Wayfair and like Amazon.
Yeah. Emphasis on the just like another, too, because prior to this whole blockchain ordeal, it was pretty much dying a slow, painful death as it wasn't able to compete with the likes of Amazon.
Right. And their ticker is OSTK, Riot Blockchain, and Longfin Corp. What's Riot's ticker?
Riot.
And Longfin is LFIN.
Yep. Riot Blockchain, another one that kind of makes me smile because it was so not Riot Blockchain like 2 months ago. I mean, that includes a name change as well, but Riot was previously Bioptics Inc., which was a biotech diagnostics equipment manufacturing company that was also dying a slow, painful death before it decided to pivot its business model. But yeah, as you said, I want to go back to what you said after reading the quote from Kodak CEO. He has a point. He does kind of have a point.
Especially with photography and the internet and Google searching images and stuff like that. I mean, unless you don't put that filter on and you use any random picture, it could cause some issues. So I think this is an innovative way or in a smart way to utilize this like growing technology in order to protect photographers' now intellectual property.
Yeah. And it is really task specific in that sense, in that it's very clearly for to solve a problem, which I think is an interesting kind of take on blockchain and the idea of digital currency, because, you know, a company like Riot, we see them shift the business model to, well, we're just investing in other companies that are using blockchain or are involved in have cryptocurrency as part of their business model. So we don't really know where that goes. We don't know necessarily what that means at times. And where and how revenue is coming from that. But with Kodak, you're taking the idea, which can be this really overarching buzzword, as they say, and really applying the underlying technology to solve a very specific problem, which maybe is a more efficient way of going about things than just becoming Kodak Blockchain and like mysteriously having it as a part of your business model now. So it'll be interesting to see where that comes from or what happens with that. We definitely understand the risks of an ICO, and I would definitely personally warn about the risks of an ICO. But for those interested in Kodak's ICO, it's on, as you said, January 31st. Mm-hmm. Shifting now to CES, Consumer Electronics Show in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, the largest consumer electronics showcase in the world every year. A real battleground for tech companies and startups. I profiled some of NVIDIA's announcements in more in-depth on Tech Talk Tuesday podcast this week. That's a little self-pitch. I'm sorry. Got to get that pitch out there. So if you want to hear more about NVIDIA specifically, feel free to check that out. Did you see the news where the Las Vegas Convention Center just was without power for like 3 hours?
No.
It was on Wednesday. So yeah, it was just in the middle. I mean, there's, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people in town just for this show. And it's kind of spread across all the big casino areas and convention centers in town. But the Las Vegas Convention Center, big, big, massive center, is really the center of everything. And yeah, they just like inexplicably lost power for 3 hours or on Wednesday. So you've just got thousands of tech people and journalists running around like chickens with their heads cut off. No idea what to do. None of the stuff's working. Everything they wanted to see is malfunctioning. It was a disaster, I would imagine. But still plenty of good to come out of CES as usual. NVIDIA, for those who don't know, has kind of made a tradition of kicking off the event with a really high energy press conference, always packed with big news. In recent years, it debuted a lot of really marquee products. The Drive AI computing platform for automotive technology for smart cars, the Shield game streaming platform, and several self-driving car partnerships. This year, CEO Jensen Huang once again kicked off the event. He actually gave us an update on all of those products and a few more. So NVIDIA has now added Uber and Volkswagen to its growing list of self-driving car partners. We are apparently getting a new Drive chip this quarter. And then on the gaming side of things, the company announced a high-end display tailored to gamers and revealed that its game streaming service will launch in an open beta soon. NVIDIA has not forgotten about its kind of traditional gaming foundation. That game streaming platform is really cool. It's going to use like NVIDIA computers to power everything, and then people, even with not super high-tech gaming rigs, will be able to stream like brand new games over the internet. So opening up PC gaming to more people, and also really doubling down on all the self-driving car stuff. Uber is obviously a massive, massive partner. Mm-hmm. Volkswagen going to be another massive, massive partner. And the more and more of these names they add to this list of partnerships, the more we realize that they are going to emerge as the number one, chip maker for this autonomous vehicle revolution, however long it takes to come. These companies, these big auto companies that are at the forefront of what are going to be the cars and how it's actually used on a consumer level, are coming to NVIDIA for the chips and the technology. Another announcement in this kind of world of self-driving car technology, NVIDIA announced a new augmented reality driverless car software. It's called NVIDIA Drive AR, and the software apparently aims to, quote, deliver information points of interest along a drive, create alerts, and navigate safely and easily, end quote. So yeah, kicked off the event on Sunday. Actually, I believe CES didn't technically start until Tuesday, but Jensen Huang, as I said, likes to get on stage early and have this massive, super duper awesome press conference where they're just shooting announcements out left and right.
So this Drive AR, does this happen? This is software that you put in a car, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's going.
So it's similar to what Tesla rolled out.
Yeah, yeah.
A year or 2 years ago.
The what do they call it? Autopilot.
Yeah.
I think in the sense that
because augmented reality is a confusing way.
Yeah.
To pitch that.
So it's not like an AR game like you would think, like a Facebook or a Snapchat is using AR to like be entertaining. Mm-hmm. But in the sense that it's like learning from the things that are around it.
Okay.
And kind of working from what it's surrounded by and building off of those things.
Okay.
From there, though, it gets a little bit over my head with the machine learning aspects of things. But yeah, NVIDIA, again, crushed it. They kind of use that debut event now as their almost like an Apple keynote, where it's just there's just announcements coming everywhere. And I will also notice, this is something real quick that I talked about on the Tech Talk Tuesday podcast. 5 out of the last 7 1-month periods following CES have resulted in gains for shares of NVIDIA. And we kind of see that period run out right before the company's next earnings report. So this next month or so is going to be really important for NVIDIA investors and seeing where the stock is going to go in 2018. Moving on, though, in staying focused on CES and self-driving cars, we also had plenty of news from Ford.
Yeah, so Ford's president and CEO Jim Hackett on Tuesday wowed the crowd at CES as he and a few other Ford executives touted the historic automaker's vision of a connected self-driving future. Titled The City of Tomorrow, Ford hopes to help drive the revolution towards connected cities where vehicles, pedestrians, traffic lights, and much more will be in constant communication in order to foster a safer and smoother life. It sounds quite beautiful.
Yes, and also a little bit dystopian and kind of some Black Mirror in there as well.
What's more, Ford announced that it partnered with mayors throughout the country as well as Bloomberg Philanthropies to create new technologies that help make moving around cities much easier. The company also said it believes vehicle to everything, quote unquote, cellular technology is the tech with the most potential here. And it also mentioned partnerships with Domino's Pizza, Lyft, and Postmates, which is it's like a Grubhub thing.
Yeah.
But
Ford Uber of Grubhubbing, basically.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah. Ford has partnered with Lyft before on ride hailing. So this is definitely an extension of that former partnership, that relationship. It's just growth.
Just like adding more legitimacy even to the project.
And it makes the Uber NVIDIA, or it gives competition to the Uber NVIDIA.
Sure, definitely. City of Tomorrow, like I said, kind of sounds dystopian, but the much longer term vision, I think, for what's going to happen with autonomous vehicle technology. It'll be one thing to get a bunch of self-driving cars on the road, and the more and more they are interacting with each other, the safer the whole process gets. But the kind of ideal picture of safety is a world where everything is just communicating, as it says, vehicle to everything tech, where the car is communicating with the road that you're driving on and all the traffic lights and the possible barriers you could run into. Everything's just digitally talking to each other and learning from each other. And
I mean, 2020 is fast approaching.
Yeah. So. And Ford and NVIDIA now seem to be two companies that will be leading the charge as soon as that first initial wave of self-driving cars rolls out. And then, hopefully for both of them long into the future. That just about does it for us this week, though. If you thought we missed anything, or if you want us to cover anything else that came out of CES, if you had your eyes on any of the other cool announcements from this week, feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.